We're back on Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. Our next guests in studio are Major Heron and Taylor Hughes. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Hey.
They're here representing the Kentucky Music Showcase Cookout and Benefit tomorrow at 700 Bryan Avenue in North Lexington. Admission is free to all. There will be music, comedy, family activities, and food vendors. All proceeds from vendors and donations will go to the Central Music Academy in downtown Lexington, providing free musical training to financially disadvantaged kids. How are you guys doing today?
All right. I appreciate you having us on.
So, it's sort of fortunate that you guys are coming on. Uriah, one of your board members, had initially sent me an email a few weeks ago that had fallen through the cracks somehow, but I met you, Major, and he at the night market this past Friday. So yeah, that's how we kind of got this whole thing together. This event is being put on by EA Loud, which you're representing. I know you're a nonprofit, but that's basically all I know. What is EA Loud and how did it get started? What's the 101?
EA Loud is a nonprofit organization which provides underprivileged youth with ways to get into music. We're trying to get kids off the streets. So how it came together was a whole bunch of artists and our creative minds, wanted to do something better for the community. So we put it together, man, and sponsors, this, that, and the other came together so fast, and it's just a blessing.
Can you tell me why helping impoverished youths is personally important to you?
Of course. I feel like the youth out here don't have a way to get into music. It's so expensive. So doing this, we are able to help kids get into these different facets of music.
Right. Through the Central Music Academy.
Well, no, through E-Loud.
Okay.
The Central Music Academy provides kids with classes for, singing or lessons on different instruments and things like that.
Okay, so what does EA Loud do specifically? Do you guys have training? Do you have instruments? Do you do like recording time or what?
We're basically a link in between underprivileged youth and different facets of the industry, I guess.
And what kind of music do people come in and want to play first? What's at the top of their list? Like what genre?
I would say country.
Oh really?
So we're here in Kentucky, so yeah, I would definitely say country.
So somebody comes in and says, "I want to learn country music. I don't have money for even a guitar. What's my first step? What do I do?"
So what we're gonna what you're gonna do is you would either reach out to us through our Facebook, which is EA Loud, or you can go to EALoudHelps.com and get at us through that facet.
Do you have connections with lots of different music teachers? And
yes, so the Bluegrass Academy, Central Music Academy has all the teachers usually that we go to. I myself have other industry contacts, so if we can't help you financially or we can't give you any pointers or anything like that, we're going to take you to somebody that can help you.
And today it's got to be a lot less expensive than it used to be, 20-25 years ago, when you had to have a recording studio and you had to have 2-inch tape and you had to have a booth and stuff like that. Now you have GarageBand and freeware and shareware and stuff like that, and good recording equipment. Like you can get really decent sound quality just on $20 digital recorder and stuff like that. Is that something you participate in with the people who come in, sort of a little more on the technical side, or do you just hook them up with the people who can show them?
No, we act as a hookup. Yeah, we definitely act as a hookup. We don't do any recording or anything like that yet. We've been getting everything together.
And who are some of your people that have the equipment? Where do you go for stuff like that?
All right.
Who are you partnering with?
We're partnering with Central Music Academy,
again,
of course.
That.
The director of, you know, my overhead, Brian Siegel, he actually has a recording studio. Do you have any places that you go to, Taylor?
I actually go to Third Sky Studios. It's in Richmond, but it's a private studio. But I mean, there's a lot of places around here. I mean, the Doo-Wop has a great recording studio, a lot of people just have them in their house, and a lot of them are doing it on their computers by themselves.
Yeah. And you can do it on your phone in several different places and stuff like that.
This is the, excuse me, we're here with Major Heron. He's the Director of Marketing and Relations at EA Loud, and he's also a artist in his own right.
Yes, sir.
And Taylor Hughes, she's a singer-songwriter of country and blues music. Is this the second Kentucky Music Showcase benefit?
Or no, is there? This is the first.
This is the first. Okay, yes. So what was... I thought I had seen that there was one on August 6th. Did that not go down?
So it was pushed back. There were so many people that were coming in, we had to switch locations. So we just got too big.
Which is never a problem.
No, at all. How many artists are you going to have
So it's going to be from 11 to 11. We're going to have 30-plus artists performing the whole day. There will be two stages at each end of the 700 block of Bryan Avenue. And it's just going to be filled with every genre.
Is that basically where... So this is the same space that the night market occupies, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you're familiar with that, the monthly night market, it's in the same area. And all proceeds, now it's a free, but you've got these vendors where all the proceeds from them is going to go to CMA, the Central Music Academy.
Well, the vendors are going to choose how much they want to give us.
Sure.
And that money will end up going to the CMA. We're trying to get them, out of that building.
So if this is the first, let's say that it goes successfully, is this something that you want to do quarterly? Is this a bi-monthly type of event?
So this will be yearly. It'll be annually.
Annually, okay.
Yeah. And we have other things that we're going to do. We're trying to pull off an Oktoberfest here. We have coat drives coming up. Next year we have a big field party 2 days. It's just a lot going on with us.
What are the challenges that you've faced through this? I mean, you've had to move one back already. How difficult is it to put on a one-day, 12-hour, so many different artists and vendors type of event?
Well, we've been at this for maybe about 2 months now.
Okay.
So we've been going door to door to door to door, the yeses, the noes.
Grassroots,
man. Yeah, exactly. You got to do it like that. But after a lot of people seen us on the news, on the different news stations, they started taking to us a lot faster.
Major Heron and Taylor Hughes in studio. Speaking of artists, you've brought in one with you today, Taylor Hughes. Thank you for being here, Taylor. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into music.
Yeah, definitely. I actually started when I was 18. I was taking guitar lessons with Paul Felice, and we were playing, and I was singing. He was like, "Oh my gosh, you sing?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't really sing in front of anybody." And he decided to take me down to Nashville, and my parents were very surprised. They were like, "She what? She sings? What are you talking about?" So I actually got my start down on a TV Comcast called Nashville Spotlight. And it's really funny looking back on it, because I was up there singing, and, people were coming up to my parents being like, "She's so talented. Like, thank you for bringing her out here." And my parents were like, "Is that really her singing?" Like, they thought it was a recording of somebody else. So that's
kind of... They had never heard you sing, in the kitchen?
No. Which is really funny that, all this time, I had wanted to do it. And I did, choir in high school, but I never got parts I tried out for. So I was always very, hesitant to do it. But now I've been doing it professionally for 2 years. I travel all over Kentucky. I'm making my way down into Nashville, working on my debut album right now. actually going to be playing on the Today Show in October.
You're kidding.
Doing some big stuff real fast, but just trying to get it going, you know.
I guess that's kind of how it goes, right? Once you get picked up, it's a whirlwind, huh?
It definitely is. I try to play about 12 to 15 shows a month because this is what I do for a living, so this is how I pay my bills. But I actually just got a full band together, and we're going to be starting in November, which is super exciting for me. But I've been playing as a duo act and a solo act for a little while.
What is Nashville Spotlight? Is that a competition?
It's just a TV Comcast that they help promote young artists. It's from, gosh, real little kids to about 18, 19 years old. It's just something for an outlet for people to get their names out there.
Okay. And so how did you, if there are so many people who start at that point, how did you get, I guess, discovered is the word that comes to my mind?
Honestly, hard work. This is, you know, I eat, sleep, do all this stuff, and you just kind of have to network. Networking is so important, and it's about the people you know and the people you make connections with. And I didn't even really get discovered on that show. It was just something I really enjoyed to do, and I just came back to Lexington, was like, this is what I want. Like, I gotta push, I gotta go bug people. When they tell you no, you keep asking till they say yes, you know. And I take vocal lessons multiple times a month down in Nashville. I take guitar lessons twice a week. Like, it's just lots of perseverance and lots of hard work.
That's what it takes.
How far into your into the production of your debut album are you?
We're still trying to get everything put together. I'm still doing some writing because we're gonna, you know, get about 14 to 15 songs put together and then pick the best 12. It's been really cool. Actually, I have a great producer. You know, he knows a lot of people and he's worked with a lot of great names, and you know, we're just trying to get it going. Hopefully it'll be ready before the end of the year.
You're currently up for a Lexington Music Award, several, actually, is
yeah.
that right?
I am. Last year, I got nominated for four of them, and I won Best Singer-Songwriter and Song of the Year, and of course, I'm running for all those again, plus Female Vocalist and Best Country Band.
And where can people vote for you on
this? Well, honestly, if you go to Facebook, you can go to my music page, Taylor Hughes Music. I've got the link up on there. It's I'm trying to remember because they kind of changed the address, but it's Lexington Music Awards blog, I think. But if you go to my music page, you'll find the links, and I'll be posting all kinds of stuff about it.
Start at Facebook. Taylor Hughes. What time about do you expect to take the stage tomorrow?
I'll be playing at 6:30. I've got about a 45-minute set.
All right. Major Heron, Director of Marketing and Relations and Artists, and Taylor Hughes, you just heard, singer, songwriter of country and blues music. She's from the Lexington area. Major, we're actually trying to get the Assistant Director of the Central Music Academy in here later this month. What can you tell me about CMA and your partnership with them?
So our partnership is basically coming off of this, is based off of this show. We have a few people that have came out of there that are on the board now. And, you know, we're just trying to build that up. What we're doing is we're taking these kids and sending them there. Anybody that we get, we send them there. And the money's going to go there. You know, I don't want to stay there in the... Let me rethink this.
Get the dump button ready.
Don't dump it. Nah. But, yeah, man. It's just a great partnership, and we're just willing to work with any kids or anything that want to get in here.
Where do you meet these kids?
They usually reach out over Facebook, over social media. They'll see us out in shirts. We've been at the night market. Plenty of people knowing who we are already because they've seen us. Yeah, hey, we know what you guys do. You know, can you help us? Can you help us out? You know, I have a son. I have a daughter in here. We're trying to get those, you know, we're trying to get them in there. And it's just...
Oh, so parents can come in and say, I have this talented kid.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know
definitely.
What to do with him. He's driving me nuts.
definitely.
He's banging on the
yeah, we will take him out of your garage and send him somewhere.
What's like the typical age range that you
the typical age range that they're working with is from 8 to 18.
Okay.
So if you guys have any kids out there that want to get into music, I would definitely go talk to Central Music Academy for vocal lessons or any instrument lessons.
And they would start at ealoudhelps.com or go to your Facebook page, yeah, which is better.
Both of them, really.
Either way,
yeah, we're active. So,
Do you have maybe a story that you could share with our audience about maybe one kid in particular that was touched by getting involved in these programs that stands out to you, maybe?
Oh man!
Well, they're all special in your eyes, right?
Yes, all kids are special. I don't have any individual stories. The youngest one I have is this one sitting right next to me.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think that when she came on, we got in contact. Well,
yeah. Oh no, go right ahead. He knows more about this than I do.
So when Taylor got in contact with us and, you know, we booked her for the show, I think she's the youngest that we're dealing with right now.
I'm always sure. The baby. But what's funny about it is that my mom and my dad, they help manage me as well. And we work on bookings together and stuff. And my mom is constantly sending me links from Facebook. Check this out. Go ask them. And she sent me this show. And I was like, well, okay, I guess. I mean, they're probably already booked. I mean, everyone books a year before.
Do you mean your parents actually sent you something like a helpful link they
I
found
know,
online
right?
to something?
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing to
it's
me.
Crazy.
I don't know, but any time in world history.
But she sent Anything it to me, happen. And I got in touch with Brian. He was like, we'd love to have you. So I was super excited, and, you know, they've kind of taken me in and helped me, you know, learn about this great organization, and, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it.
Did you, when you went there, were you playing country music, or is that... Is that what spoke to you?
Yes, that's what I've always wanted to do.
What is it about that that's really appealed to you?
You know, I like country music because it tells a story. I mean, all music tells a story in its own way, but I just connect with that kind of stuff more, and I like how it's straight to the point. You know, there's no beating around the bush. There's no trying to figure out what they're saying.
Do you have a narrative that you like to do in your songs and with your lyrics? Tell a story with a beginning, middle, and end?
I pretty much do. A lot of the stuff I write is definitely experiences I've had. I've done a few things where it's not basically, or not like me, but people that I know that have gone through stuff. So it's very much storytelling.
When are you going to be on the Today Show? Can you give us a date?
I will be on there October 26th.
All right, circle your calendars. The day before Divine Karama's album, King Tucky, comes out.
That's going to be a busy week.
It is going to be. Thank you, Ben. Okay, Major Heron of EA Loud and Taylor Hughes, singer-songwriter, in studio with us. They are putting on the Kentucky Music Showcase Cookout and Benefit tomorrow, September 10th, from 11 to 11 at 700 Bryan Avenue in North Lexington. Admission is free, and all proceeds go to the Central Music Academy, a nonprofit providing free musical education to disadvantaged kids in Lexington. For more information, you can go to their website at centralmusicacademy.org. What else can the you mentioned the coat drive a little bit, Major. What else can you tell us about this coat drive next month?
So the coat drive that we're going to have, it's just going to be, we're going to be collecting coats. You can get in contact with us through, if you guys have old coats or anything like that.
Or new coats
that you want to donate. Any businesses that want to donate any coats or anything like that can get in contact with us over Facebook or through our website.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, one last question for you, Major. God forbid, but what's the contingency plan in the case of bad weather tomorrow?
Oh. In the case of bad weather,
party in the rain.
Yes, we're partying.
Okay.
Real hard.
All right, no. It's on.
No.
Bring a slicker.
Yes. So across the street, we have a few places that anybody will be able to go into just in case any weather comes that's bad. And then, you know, we'll probably continue the show after it gets done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Major Heron of EA Loud and Taylor Hughes, singer-songwriter. Thank you guys for coming in. And before we go out, we want to set up our a song by Taylor. It's called Use a Gun. So take her advice if you wish. We'll be right back. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community. We're back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio. In studio with us now is Melinda Jameson, the Executive Director of CASA of Lexington. CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. They're a nonprofit that recruits and trains community volunteers to advocate for minors during courtroom proceedings. How are you doing today, Melinda?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me here.
So this is a unique program. Maybe to get started, you could tell us where the idea for CASA came from and why there is a need for it.
Sure. So CASA is a national program that exists in 49 of our 50 states. The one state that does not have a program is North Dakota.
And get with it.
Boo.
Yeah, well, they have a state law requiring you to be an attorney, and we don't operate under those procedures. Okay. We do require that you be at least 21 years of age and undergo various background checks, go through a 30-hour training, and take an oath of confidentiality. But why is there a need for this? So unfortunately, it actually first started in Seattle, Washington. A judge there by the name of David Sukup realized he did not have enough information to make informed decisions on behalf of the children that came before him in his courtroom. So someone suggested, let's take community volunteers, train them, send them out to be the eyes and the ears, and let them bring the information back to help us make more informed decisions. It was so successful, they replicated the program, and as we said, it's now a national program. And then it came to Kentucky here in 1986, and we do have a program here in Fayette County serving the citizens of Fayette County through the family court system. And so that's a little bit about how it came about. Unfortunately, every year there are more and more children with substantiated cases of abuse and neglect, and Fayette County is not immune to that.
Are we talking in the triple digits?
So last year, 1,481 children had substantiated cases, and that's just Fayette County.
Wow.
Unfortunately, here in Kentucky, we've been one of seven states that provide zero funding to this program. So currently, CASA only exists in 41 of our 120 counties. Now, a bright note, this July 1st, we received funding for the first time ever in the state budget. We have yet to receive that funding, but it is through a grants process. So we're looking forward to that. That won't take away all of our woes, and there will still be a need for fundraising.
Sure.
But the goal is to provide every child that needs one with a CASA advocate, because get this, a child with a CASA spends 7.5 months less in out-of-home care, and 90% of our children with CASA never re-enter the system.
Mm. Those are some damn good statistics. I'm sort of confused on what the CASA actually does.
So that's a great question. The CASA is there to speak in the best interest of the children, and we are an unduplicated service, so there are other people involved, such as a state social worker. A state social worker works under the mandate of reunifying the children with their biological parents. Now, that is not necessarily the role of the CASA. We are going to look at that if that is in the safe, permanent interest of the children, but if it is not, we're going to look at what is in the safe, permanent interest of the children, what is in the best interest of the children. So we operate on a little different mandate. Also, right now in Fayette County, a state social worker has as many as 38 cases. And there can be 2, 3, 7 children on a case, and they can be placed all over the state. So you can imagine they might only be able to see that child once every 3 to 4 months, and it could be a very short visit. A CASA advocate sees the children on their case at least monthly. Often we'll see them more often than that, and they can devote much more time to it because they have one case versus 38 cases.
So do they provide some sort of counseling, or what is the training that they receive?
Okay, so I'll take both questions. The training they receive is a 30-hour training that follows a national curriculum, and they learn about things such as minimum sufficient level of care, domestic violence, diversity, many topics, how to do court reporting, how does family court work, and then they are supervised by a staff person called a volunteer manager, which is typically a social work background, that guides them through the process, goes on the first home visit with them, always attends court with them. Now, what do they do for the child? They are court appointed, which means they get medical records, school records, drug testing records of the biological parents, and they put all of this into a report, which they learn how to write in training, and we have a template they follow. And at the end of that report, they make recommendations. It could be as extreme as termination of parental rights, and let's look at adoption for these children. It could be the child needs counseling or additional counseling or maybe eyeglasses. classes. One story I can give you, we had a 7-year-old young lady, and the school system was looking at putting her in remedial coursework. The advocate realized she couldn't see and needed eyeglasses and had come from a home where that just wasn't an option, and she didn't understand it wasn't normal. We got her the eyeglasses, and within 2 weeks, she was placed in the advanced reading group. Wow. Now, they were getting ready to remove her from the classroom, so let's think about this. This could be a true game changer for her.
Wow. I guess we understand how much better the things can work out with a CASA. What can happen without one?
I think that things can go unreported. Maybe they don't come up. Like in the story we just talked about, no one was aware that she needed those eyeglasses. So if she had been put into remedial coursework, her education is going to look a little different. But also, we had a case that we were put on, and the child reported to the CASA that he had been sexually abused. That was nowhere on any court records. The case was only before the court because the child, who was very young, had been left home alone and was outside, not properly dressed in very poor weather. And so it came before the case simply, they thought they needed to provide the parents with a little parenting course. And I understand that it wasn't appropriate to leave a 3-year-old home alone. But in reality, there was a whole lot more going on.
So they would then directly advise the judge, or the volunteers would give the case to people like yourself, the executive director, and then you pass that along to the judge. Is it they don't work independently outside of CASA after they become trained, do
right.
they?
So once an individual becomes trained, they're a CASA, and they report to a volunteer manager, which is a staff person, and they guide them in the process. But the advocate does write the report and make the recommendations. It goes to the judge, the attorneys, the social worker, everybody involved. But the judge has the authority to determine which recommendations are enacted and put forth.
We're in studio with Melinda Jameson. She's the executive director of CASA of Lexington. That is a court-appointed special advocate. For more information, you can go to lexingtoncasa.com. So tell us about your volunteer CASAs. They don't have to be social workers. I understand they don't have to be attorneys. Is there one type of occupation or set of occupations that you prefer? Are we talking about people who are in white collar sort of fields, or is all welcome in that?
That's the fantastic part. Everyone is welcome as long as they're at least 21 years of age, willing to go through the 30-hour training, willing to consent to various background checks, and that we do ask that they're able to make a 2-year commitment. And the reason is the average case runs for 2 years, and these children unfortunately see a rotating door of many faces when it comes to physicians, social workers, teachers, foster homes, etc. So the CASA strives to be a constant for them, but we have everyone from 21 years of age students to, we have an 86-year-old who is retired. Majority of our advocates work full-time. We have some that are stay-at-home parents or are retired, but we really have something for everyone, and we serve a diverse population, so we try to ensure that our volunteer base is also diverse.
Now, somebody wants to volunteer. Where should they go? What the website?
Sure. The website is www.lexingtoncasa.com, and we list our upcoming training schedules on there. There is actually one starting on Tuesday, and we ask that individuals that are interested go ahead and contact the office prior to showing up, because we have a volunteer manual that we'll give you and give you some basic information. But the classes for this upcoming session are on Tuesday evenings, 5:30 to 8:30, and there are 2 Saturday sessions from 9 to 4.
And are there scheduling availabilities for people who work the typical 9 to 5, 40-hour work week, have trouble taking time off but would like to volunteer but can only do so on weekends or evenings? Is that an option for them?
Yes, that's the beauty of it. So once you get through the 30-hour training, it's largely based on your schedule. You can visit the child at school if you're somebody that works evening hours, or maybe you could only visit them on weekends. You're going to work with wherever the child is placed. They could be in their home of origin. They could be in a foster home, a residential treatment facility. So you're going to work with wherever the child is placed at, but it can largely be based on your schedule.
And a location? Can people sort of narrow down the location for which they can volunteer, the major Lexington urban area? Or I can go a few miles out, but not too far.
That definitely. Kind of thing. We call that case preferences. So at the end of your training, you go through an interview with myself, and we talk about several things. And one thing we ask is, do you have case preferences? Some people say they're completely open. Some prefer boys or girls. Mm. Some really love teenagers and want to work with them, and some don't. And some prefer a child that's verbal. So we talk through all of those things. Some people say they prefer to have a child that's not been sexually abused. We can never guarantee that, but we would not put you on a blatant sexual abuse case, as well as you can say, I can only take one in Fayette County or surrounding counties, or I'm willing to travel, because we do have some children that are placed 3 hours away, even though we're only serving Fayette County, because children get placed in many different counties.
So not just any occupation is welcome, any personality trait or collection of personality traits you can accommodate as well.
That's right. We want you all.
So you're always looking for volunteers then still?
Yes, we are always looking. There is a state statute as well as a national CASA standard that requires that we have one volunteer manager, which is a paid staff person, for every 30 CASA volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we are limited in the number of children we can serve based on the amount of money we can raise to pay staff. But right now, we have added an additional volunteer manager, which allows us to up our count by 30 volunteers.
You sort of mentioned that these kids, they come from tough backgrounds. There's a lot of rough stuff going on in their lives, and they get kind of shuffled around from one adult to another during these times. Is it usual for the children to be distrustful of a CASA coming in?
I think that we definitely have a good amount of cases with children, especially the older kids, who have come to a point where it's a challenge for them to trust anyone. And so often, a first visit or a second visit, the child might not share much. A case we had with a little boy who was 7, when he met the CASA for the first time, he used some choice language and really didn't have much to say to her. Second visit, not so much. Third visit, he said, "Well, lady, you're just going to keep coming back, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes, that's right." And he said, "You know what?" Well, he started to open up, and they chatted, and that story ended well. It's been about a 2.5-year-old case. He actually was adopted this year and is thriving and still has communication with his CASA. So even though he didn't have much to say to her when we first started, I would say they are great friends now.
Oh, that's great. And do you find it maybe beneficial sometimes that the volunteer is in fact a volunteer and not an authority figure and not somebody in a uniform or a suit or telling them where to go, what to eat and what to do?
I definitely think so, especially for the families. And like I said, we are all for reunifying the children with their biological parents if it is a safe permanent option.
Is that the preference?
If it is a safe permanent option, yes, because research shows that the child will thrive and go on to do better. But unfortunately, sometimes it's not. But I think it is huge for the family members to hear that the advocates aren't receiving any money. They don't get reimbursed for their mileage. Some of them are driving 3 hours each way a couple times a month. That's huge. That means they want to be there to make a difference. And then number two, the CASA is there to do what's in the best interest of the child. Who can't agree with that?
I can't. Now, do the kids have any say in who their volunteer is? Do you get a situation where the kid just goes, "I can't work with this person"? You know.
Well, they might say that, but no, they don't get choice, because how it happens is we get a copy of every petition that is filed in Fayette County Family Court. We can request to be put on a case. A judge can assign us. Anyone involved, attorneys, social workers, biological parents, family members, can request a CASA. But what we have to keep in mind is last year we served 23%, so that's 1 out of 4. So we typically get the worst of the worst, major human trafficking, major sexual abuse, major physical abuse, etc. And so we will take basically any case that meets qualifications, but we all have to keep in mind right now, unfortunately, we're getting the worst of the worst. And so we get assigned a case, and then we work to match a CASA volunteer based on their preferences and who we think would be a good fit. So we truly do take into consideration, is there one child, are there 7 children, where are they placed at, who can do this, but also who's going to be the best fit.
So if it's a family, that's one case.
Correct, except in a case where a sibling has perpetrated on another sibling, and then they get separate CASA advocates.
Okay.
Melinda Jameson, Executive Director of CASA of Lexington. For more information or their training schedule to become a volunteer, go to lexingtoncasa.com. It's sort of remarkable to me that you've already told a couple of specific anecdotes about individual kids and their stories. Even oftentimes we have people who are high up in nonprofits and trying to get them to come up with a specific story about the people that they help is somewhat like wringing a dish rag. Is this why is this so important to you?
Well, that's a great question. I actually spent the first 5 years of my life living in a residential treatment facility with my biological parents. And so being the youngest and growing up with what I say kids who are older than me, I saw this cycle continue. And it's a vicious cycle. And if someone doesn't step in to do something, whether that's a teacher, a pastor, a CASA, a coach, the cycle often repeats, and you see it affect generations. And the number one question I get asked is, how do you do your job on a daily basis when you're only serving 23%? Well, at the end of the day or year, if we only serve one child, I feel good about that, because one child is not one child. We have the opportunity to affect generations, to break that cycle so that they can go on to be successful in life. And if that means having children, hopefully raising their own children in their own home. So I truly believe in the power of CASA. It's an opportunity to be a voice, a hope, and a future for these children.
All right, I want to figure out how we can get people to come out to this event tomorrow, the superhero run over at the Kentucky Horse Park. You're definitely doing good work over there, and until this state money comes through, you'll need all the community support that you can get. What can you tell us about the superhero run?
Oh, I can tell you a lot. So the tagline is, all children need heroes, abused children need superheroes, and that's the theme of this and why we do it. But it is one of our primary fundraisers. The event kicks off at 8:30 with a children's 1K. That is for children 12 and under. And they're all going to get a cape, and whenever they stop, someone's going to put a medal around their neck. And at the finish line, they'll even get a book. And then that is followed by a 5K at 9 a.m., which is a competitively chipped time event, but we welcome walkers. Capes and tights are optional, but they definitely make it more fun. Now, let me tell you about this 5K.
Yes.
There are 350 figurines on the course. Each participant can pick up one. We have over $26,000 of donated prizes.
Whoa.
There is a chicken McNugget, which we are posting on our Facebook today, that is worth over $500 in gift cards. So there is really something for everyone out there. Following the 5K, there is a costume contest for kids, adults, teams, and pets, sponsored by Lexington Comic Con.
And pets?
Yes, and pets.
Oh, my God.
And there was a hamster 1 year.
Oh,
yes,
my.
So it's not just dogs, ladies and gentlemen. And then there is a festival that includes superheroes, princesses, miniature ponies, inflatables, crafts, make your own superhero mask, food, all kinds of things.
That was my next. Food, where do we, what kind of food do you have?
Well, first off, it's free with admission to the 1K or the 5K. How much better can it get?
Not.
No better at all.
So we will have Papa John's pizza, Culver's custard, fruit from Noodles and Company, donuts from a variety of locations, chocolate milk from Dean's, soft drinks, water, and more.
So this is not your grandfather's superhero run. There's a lot going on here.
There is definitely a lot going on, and the best part, you're saying, I believe in the power of CASA, and I want to give a hope and a future to children right here in our own community, and I'm going to have a great time while I'm doing it.
Oh, great.
That's pretty fantastic. You kind of covered it all, man.
I have one more.
Yeah, Ben, please.
To anybody who's, you know, thinking about volunteering, but this is serious business, and you're dealing with kids who have been through horrible trauma in a lot of different cases, and you're prioritizing, you know, the 1/4 out there who need the most help, and it's a 2-year commitment, and all this sounds hard. What do you tell those people to get?
So
let's get them to come in and volunteer.
What I say is, if you have a heart to make a difference, we're there to assist you. So you're going to have a volunteer manager, which is a paid staff person that's going to guide you through the whole process. Mm-hmm. So don't be overwhelmed, because that's what the person is there for, and it is a 1 to 30 ratio. So mm-hmm. if you think about that, you could have an entire day a month if you needed that much support. And we really are a team, so we're going to guide you through that process. We never want anyone to be in a situation where they're uncomfortable. The volunteer manager will go on your first home visit to meet the child or children. They can go on additional visits if the individual wants that. They're always at court with you. So they're really there to guide you through the process. So if you think this is something you're interested in, give us a call. We'll set up an initial interview. We can come in, chat more about it, answer any questions you have, and we can decide, is CASA the right fit for you?
So you're not going to dump a bunch of pieces of paper on them and say, here, figure this out yourself. And
that is definitely not the CASA way.
So you're supporting a child, and then somebody's also got your back. So you've got a series of people who have each other's backs going on.
That is correct.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much for coming in today, Melinda.
I appreciate it. Hope to see you in your capes and tied at the superhero run.
I'll have to get it dry cleaned. Intern Alyssa in the corner, that's how it's done right there. For Bluegrass Bios, I think we'll actually come back really quick do our breaking news. Before that, though, let me just say one last time, Melinda Jameson, Executive Director of CASA of Lexington, that's the court-appointed special advocate. For more information or their training schedule, go to lexingtoncasa.com. You can also go to that website for more information on the CASA Superhero Run 5K or 1K if you're under 12 years old. Tomorrow, September 10th at the Kentucky Horse Park. Registration closes at 8:45 a.m. tomorrow. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Melinda?
You can register tonight from 4 to 6:30 at our office and receive a book of comics free. And we are located at 1155 Red Mile Place, directly off of Red Mile Road.
Oh, excellent. Wow. All right, thank you very much. We're going to go. We're going to play probably just...
We got one song.
We got one song. We'll come right back to sign off. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community. All right, we're back to close it out on this Friday. This is Bluegrass Bios on WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. I believe that Aging Adventures with Lydia Jacobs still comes on right after us.
Possibly.
Yeah. Stay tuned to find out about that. One quick note from our last guest, that CASA Superhero Run, if it starts raining tomorrow, it will still go. Because you know why, Ben?
Why is that, Kyle?
Superheroes are not affected by precipitation.
You know, I'm trying to think of one that is affected by water, and I cannot think of one.
Well, Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Oh, was that water?
Yeah, he had a phobia.
He had a thing of water.
His weakness was water, which...
Maybe I got mixed up with Signs. Signs, there was also a water thing.
Also M. Night Shyamalan.
And then there was, of course, The Wicked Witch of the West.
That's true. That's probably where all that came from.
It's all been done before, Kyle.
You're right. Everything. Books are made out of other books. Okay, so...
Rain or shine. Just
right. So show up anyway. Melinda said she'll be there in full Robin Hood regalia, so that's how you'll spot her. Just some quick housekeeping. Obviously, Dr. Alex did not make it in today. I actually, at one point, gave him the heads up, like, maybe today is not the best day to come in.
We were packed.
This was a fast show, man.
It was.
We've never had 6 people in studio in 2 hours.
I don't think so, no.
That was quite a bit.
Not in guests. We have had, you know, station and interviewers and stuff like
that. Were we getting Periscope the entire time during that second one, too? There was a cameraman in here capturing us the entire time.
What was he doing?
I don't know. I don't know. We've lost control. I should note before we get out of here that if you are a regular listener of the show, you've probably missed a distinct lack of our estrogen-fueled voice on here.
I've tried to make up for that, Kyle, as much as I could. But it's been beyond me.
Lexington Sours. Yeah, we're bidding farewell to Lexington Sours. she's starting her last semester of undergrad. I know she's just moved into a new house. She's very busy. She indicated to both Ben and I that because of her schedule, she would not be joining the show for the foreseeable future. She does, however, have a show that airs on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. It's very new. I think maybe the first one was last week. I wish I could give everybody the time tomorrow to go listen to it, but... you can check out the website, lexingtoncommunityradio.org, if you want any information on station scheduling, or if you would like to listen to this show or any of our others. Ben is giving me the sign that we have to get out of here.
Yeah.
Our podcasts are available there, or if you would just like to tweet us, you can do so at Bluegrass Bios. For Kyle and Ben, this has been our show for the week.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I love that show too, man. I love Divine Karama. He's welcome anytime.
Absolutely.
We'll see you all next week when we will have two guests whose names escape me. Have a great weekend.